Aaron Whiting from the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
You've got big developments over here in this county, right?
We do. The Regional Land Conservancy is excited to have had a pretty long history working in Benzie County. We work in five counties, and for the last 30 plus years, we've been working in beautiful Benzie County. And right now we have one of our sort of most ambitious projects yet.
Let's talk about the Alberta land purchase. Tell us where it is and why is it being purchased?
Yeah, so the Alberta Waterfront Project is really a community conservation project in every sense of the word. So the land itself that we're talking about is a 35-acre piece of land that most people who live in the area will be familiar with. It essentially stretches from the north end of the village of Alberta, just past the cabbage shed, by the marina there. And then it kind of leaps over the existing waterfront park, and then it encompasses all the land to the west of the waterfront park that goes to Lake Michigan out, between the piers and curves around to the existing Alberta beach. So in total, it's 35 acres on either side of the waterfront park where the life saving station is. So that's the land that we're talking about. And up until for the last, probably almost 20 years, 19 years, that property has been owned by the Alberta Land Holding Company, which is an LLC of individuals based in Grand Rapids. They purchased it. I think they were the ones who purchased it from Koch Industries in 2005. And while they had some potential development plans for the property, they never came to fruition. And they decided eventually that they would just sell it and let someone else, do the developing. So the property went on the market several years ago again. And as people who live in the area probably know, there was a lot of interest in it. The most notable was from a Chicago-based development firm, international firm, Richard Knorr International. And they had made an offer to purchase the property and had a purchase agreement for a time. And their vision for that piece of land was a 400,000 square foot all-inclusive resort. And while ultimately that did not happen, they did end up backing out of the deal. The land went back on the open market, at which point the Conservancy was able to step in. And over the last few years, we have been working with the landowners to come up with a deal, an opportunity to sort of write a different story for that property, a different vision that feels more in line with what the community in Alberta has told us again and again they want and don't want on their waterfront. So now the Land Conservancy has entered into a purchase agreement with the land holding company, with the sellers. We signed those documents on June 28th of this year, so not long ago. And we have until December 15th of this year to raise the funds to purchase the 35 acres. And the purchase price is $19.5 million. So in a nutshell, that is sort of the high level of what we're trying to do. But there are a lot of different components to the way this will all look when it's done. And I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, or
well,
if you have specific questions.
Yeah, can you speak with how this purchase will be funded? Of what other partnering organizations is the Conservancy working with to make sure that this can be purchased by December 15th?
Yeah, how is it progressing?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a big number to reach. Typically, we would have years to raise those dollars because we would need to balance it, you know, with the work we have going on in all the other counties and all the other projects we have. But this is a little bit of an unusual situation where we have 5 months from the time we signed that purchase agreement to raise the money. But that was what the sellers agreed to the purchase price, provided we purchased the entire thing. We didn't, you know, have the ability to just purchase a portion of it. You had to purchase the whole thing, and it had to close by the end of 2024. So with that in mind, we got to work very gratefully with some of our best supporters in Benzie County.
Great.
We had a lead gift pledged of many million dollars, pledged to kick off this effort. And since then, we have been working with generous individuals who love Benzie County, mm-hmm. who love Alberta, who love the Frankfurt area. And individual philanthropy is what is going to get us to the $19.5 million.
How much left right now must be raised?
Right now, today, this morning, we have $2.97 million to go.
Wow.
So in other words, we have commitments for 16.53.
Good job.
So we are a good way of the, you know, there, but we still have a ways to go and only a few weeks.
What hit
that deadline?
Yeah. What is propelling people to be so generous? I mean, the ecological value of that land and the historic significance of that land are those things pulling at people's heartstrings?
Well, I think it's a lot of things. Yes, the ecological component, having public access to Lake Michigan and Betsy Bay shoreline, on a piece of property that's been in private ownership for, you know, more than a century, because, of course, it, as you alluded to, it has quite a historical and significant industrial past. So the public has not had access to that stretch of shoreline before. So I think that's exciting to people to have more ability for the public to enjoy those beautiful natural resources, enjoy more beach, have access to that deep water fishing channel. I think that's exciting to people. I also think that in general, it seems people do not want huge development in Frankfurt and Alberta. And it became very clear that that piece of property was being marketed to developers for large resort luxury developments of a scale that most local people do not want to see.
Kind of like
in their community.
Like, yeah, like Bay Harbor just south of Petoskey.
Not dissimilar from that. That was at least Richard Knorr's proposal. And the feeling was, although that company did ultimately back out, that it was only a matter of time till another developer came along and saw the potential. Like Richard Knorr's proposal was for, like I said, a little over 400,000 square feet, for about 7 stories, for luxury condo units and rental units, you know, a hotel, retail, so forth, a 500 car parking deck. And the community really felt that that was going to completely overwhelm the character and the infrastructure of their small town life and the reason they live there and love mm-hmm. it. And the Village of Alberta has worked very hard over the last few years on their new master plan, public input, and coming up with a different vision for their village. That said, they very much recognize that there is a need for economic development in Alberta, and there is a need for tax revenue. And so it felt like a little bit of a pickle of, well, how do we preserve our small town character? How do we preserve access to these beautiful natural resources and yet help our economy grow and help the community thrive financially? You know, how do we do all of those things? And our hope, the Conservancy's hope, is that this project is going to check all those boxes because it has a couple of components. And the way we are proposing that the project will shake out, if we're successful at purchasing the property, so of course that has to come first. None of this is possible if we don't raise the 19.5 and we aren't able to close. But if we do, the way it would work is the 16 acres that are west of the current waterfront park. So, you know, everything to the west of the life-saving station that curves around and ultimately connects to the existing Alberta Beach, that 16 acres. That will be open to the public as park and natural land. Mm. So about 10 acres the Conservancy is going to retain because that's the most significant ecological piece, which is, of course, really what we do. That is our area of expertise. So that's roughly the forested dune area as you drive up by street. Behind, you know, what was Trick Dog and now is the Furnace Street Distillery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that property, and you can see the for sale signs, too, on your right as you drive up. You know, that forested dune is really the most ecologically sensitive and the one that makes the most sense for the Conservancy to retain ownership of. And we will manage it as a nature sanctuary. So that's that part. The rest of that 16, you know, the rest of that acreage there. So the 16 acres that are left on that west side, that is going to be a public park. And that will ultimately be owned, be transferred to the Village of Alberta. So the Conservancy will not hold on to that. That makes the most sense for the village to manage as one of their parks because they already manage the waterfront park to the east. And they manage the Alberta Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So this piece right in the middle makes the most sense for the village to manage as just one contiguous piece of parkland. And that will come, that transfer will happen, you know, down the line if we're successful in being able to buy it. And then you've got these 9 acres of the 35 then. So you've got, you know, 16, and then you have this 9-acre piece on the east side of the existing park, the one that this piece butts right up to the marina and the existing village. Those 9 acres, they were just part of the deal. As I said, we had to buy the whole thing or buy nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So those 9 acres were part of the deal, but they really are best suited for economic development. They're connected, you know, to the existing village.
Yes.
They can easily be connected to water and sewer. Mm-hmm. And they make the most sense for that. However, the Conservancy is, we are well aware, that is not our wheelhouse. We are not an economic development organization. We are a conservation organization. So we went looking for a partner who could help the village turn that 9 acres into the most beneficial asset that they could, that would help them fulfill their vision. Because it's not our vision, and it's the people who live in Alberta. What do they want to see in their community that's going to help create tax revenue, but also going to create the kind of community they want to live in? What are those amenities and businesses and housing? What's that mix look like? So we went looking for a partner that could help them do that, and we found that partner in the Michigan State Land Bank Authority.
Okay.
Yeah, they're tremendous. They're an incredible state agency that, you know, just Google them. Mm-hmm. They have done hundreds of projects around the state of Michigan, and they exist pretty much for this purpose.
Great.
They exist to help communities maximize the economic potential in previous industrial property. You know, they exist to help them do that. So that is what will happen with the 9 acres eventually if we're successful in purchasing. We will pretty much immediately transfer the 9 acres to the State Land Bank Authority, and they will hold it. They will just act as a holding agency while the village conducts a very thorough public input process to decide what they want to see there. Because the community needs to figure out, you know, how much housing do you want? How much, you know, does that need to be attainable housing, affordable housing, market housing, retail? You know, what do you want to see there? And how much money do you need those 9 acres to generate? You know, what really needs to come off of that land to help the community? And the land bank then will help them put that all together and envision what those 9 acres can look like. They will then help them find developers who can execute that vision. So that is really their expertise, and they also have access to all these tools and resources and funding that the village would not have otherwise. So they are there to really take the village's hopes and dreams and vision and put it into action over time.
Yes.
And it'll likely be a phased process. It's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
But over time, those 9 acres will be developed. And the only stipulations the Conservancy is putting on that before we transfer those 9 acres over, the only stipulations we're putting on it is that we want the Betsy Valley Trail to be able to go through that property.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because, yeah, for years it's been, you know, it stops at Penfold Park, mm-hmm. you know, basically, and then you have to ride along the road. And there's no good way to get to the Alberta Beach. And the trail would love to go through there, but the previous owners or the current owners would not grant an easement to allow the trail to go through. So we are going to insist that whatever happens and whatever developer buys those 9 acres allows the Betsy Valley Trail to go through that property. And then it will continue through all of the new parkland to the beach. So you'll have a beach to beach, Frankfurt Beach to Alberta Beach.
Sounds ideal.
On the Betsy Valley Trail.
Yeah, great.
Have any...
That's kind of in a nutshell. I know that's sort of a lot, but there are a lot of components. You know, there's the parkland component and the nature sanctuary and the economic development and the trail. So there are a lot of pieces to this.
Well,
the Conservancy is helping to make this all possible, though.
Yes.
So, very, very grateful to
the
vision of the
first,
Conservancy.
Or else none of it'll happen.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a are you aware of the history component?
Meaning the various previous owners and the
I think you're talking about the yeah.
Well,
the,
you know,
the,
woo woo woo
the car ferry and the
yeah, woo woo radio is part of it seems to have the same acronym as the holding company. It's the Alberta Labor Heritage Center, ELHC.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah. And we're our main thrust of our organization is to try to preserve the history of Alberta. So it's very critical to us that that history be preserved. But there are two specific things that are there that you may not be aware of that are historical that are in the environmental land that you want to protect on the dune. Are you aware of the history?
Oh, okay.
Two sites there on the dune as you go up the road to the right where the for sale sign is? Are you aware of anything going
on? Right on the property? Because the whole dune is not what we are purchasing.
No,
you know,
on the property to the right
okay.
as you go up the road, which I believe is where the for sale sign is right there.
Yeah, there's a picnic table and a little
yes,
clearing.
But there's a trail there. And it goes up to two sites there that...
Oh, yes, yes. We had a conversation with the landholding company about this because, you know, they were upset. You know, people had been trespassing on their land for years, you know, going on that trail. And we said, well, It's okay.
Are you
because locals want to get up there.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the trail.
Cross, yeah.
It's not the cross. Yeah, the Sailor's Cross.
Yeah, getting up to the cross.
Is very, you know, historically has been there for the ships that are coming in. Yeah. And then there's a cement bunker up there, which has historical...
Yes, we are aware of that.
Well, that's critical. That cement bunker was the early broadcasting of ship-to-shore radio. Not that particular bunker, but that location, I believe, 1906, Marconi, who developed radio, this was his first spot on the Great Lakes where he did ship-to-shore radio, was here in
first
the...
spot?
Yep, Frankfort, Alberta. From here, he went to Chicago and made a press release and all that kind of stuff, but this was the first ship-to-shore radio. And railroad guys, radio guys, that's a significant spot. It's on, you know, it's in the internet there. I've actually got the page brought up. I can get it to you. And they reference that, really critical. And then there was historical incidents that happened with the radio broadcasting to the ships that were in trouble out there. There's stories in the Alberta History of Alberta book about the particular family, the guy that ran the radio for years and helped guide the ships into the harbor. So it might be worth looking into. I know that it's a concern for us at the Alberta Labor Heritage Center, because it was one of the reasons we decided to start community radio here, because this was before broadcast radio. This was the first radio broadcast on the Great Lakes, was here in Alberta, Frankfort.
That's
fabulous. That's quite a claim to fame.
Yes. Also, that hill was home to the Alberta Mountain Winter Sports Complex, which was founded by a local Norwegian immigrant.
That would be to the left, though.
To the left. Yes, you're right.
I don't think that land is part of this deal,
it's
right?
It's not part of the deal, you're right, but it's close.
That's another historical site, though. Yeah.
What happened at the Alberta Mountain Winter Sports Complex?
Exactly.
Several local media have done stories about this. The Betsy Current wrote about it a while back. You can look it up on their on their website.
It was a toboggan run and a ski jump, mm-hmm. and they competed up there. And in fact, kitty corner from our studio is the house where the gentleman lived who they wanted to bring winter sports to Alberta, and this was a way to bring tourism to Alberta in the 1950s.
The tow ropes are still up in the hill, and they were run by a 1930s Chevy truck. I am not a auto chassis. Is that chassis? Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, it's up there, and it's a great walk if you get a chance, because I think that's owned by the Sand Company. Isn't that the other big property owner up there?
The Sand Products.
Sand
Products owns pretty much all of the dune behind this property we're talking about, and behind the Alberta Beach, and along there, and that's a company called Sand Products.
And what do you know about them?
What do I know about them? We've been in contact with them for 30 plus years. They own land up and down the Lake Michigan shoreline. Initially, they were mining sand for the auto industry, for glass, mm-hmm. for the auto industry. But in recent years, they have diversified. They're not doing much sand mining anymore, as much as shipping, freight, import, export, that sort of thing. They're a very large, successful company. And that land right now, as you can see, is sitting there. It's an asset in their portfolio. But it's not part of this deal. It has nothing to do with this deal, but that is the Sand Products Company. And if you look them up, you can see where they own other land along the Great Lakes. Wow. But we've been in touch with them for years, and they currently give the Village of Alberta an public use easement for the beach. They allow the village to groom their property, south of the existing Alberta beach that the village owns. They allow the village to groom far past that and have granted a public use easement so that the public can enjoy the shoreline there along the beach on their property.
Yeah. So You've got how many days left? 30, 60?
Well, let's see. What's today? The 30th?
Yeah.
So I'm going to count today as a full day because we need every day we can get. So that's 2 days this month and 30 days next month. That's 32 plus 15. Let's see, 40 to 47 days.
47 days. So how can local residents and supporters get involved in the Conservancy's efforts to protect this beautiful natural space?
Well, one wonderful thing is that we are able to take multi-year pledges.
Ooh,
in this effort.
Nice.
Which is making it possible for a lot of individuals, a lot of families, to stretch a little further in what they're able to give because they can do it over time. So we don't need the entirety of your gift by December 15th. Although if you want to do that, great. But if it's going to allow you to be even more generous, we're able to take multi-year commitments, and many people have done that. So what matters is that we have the pledge documented by the 15th,
mm-hmm.
The total amount of which will bring us to 19.5.
Mm.
But you can pay that out over several years. And that's something we would love to talk to you about and discuss how that might work for you and your financial situation and your family. But being able to take multi-year pledges has allowed a lot of people to give extremely generously.
I don't think that, I've been aware of this project, and that's the first I've heard of that. So that's a great,
oh, really? Okay. Well,
great opportunity.
I got a chance to share.
Yes. How do people get a hold of you if they want to do that?
Well, if people want to make just a one-time gift, like if you're not talking about a pledge, you're talking about a one-time gift, you can go right on our website. GTRLC.org, or just Google Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy. Go under active projects. You can select the Alberta Waterfront Project and you can donate right there. However, giving by credit card, it doesn't work for everyone and there are fees associated and so forth. So it can be nicer to send a check, or some folks, they're giving from their donor advised fund, or they would prefer to give stock. You know, giving appreciated stock right now with the market, this is a great way to give. And again, a way some people can give a lot more is to give stock. So we have instructions and information that can help you with all those things. The best way, if that's the direction you'd like to go, is probably just to get in touch with me directly.
Yes.
And I will be very happy to have a conversation about what can make this work best for everyone. I'm just going to give my direct phone number. You
yes.
can call me right at the Conservancy, and that's 231-922-1259. Or just call our main number. You ask for Aaron Whiting, or ask for whoever's in charge of the Alberta project. They'll get to me somehow. Also, you can send me an email. My email address is ewhiting, W-H-I-T-I-N-G, at GTRLC.org. So any way that you can get to me, we could have a conversation. I'd love to talk about it. Of course, we're a 501c3, so every gift to us is fully, tax deductible to the extent that is allowed. So if you have some room in your philanthropy for 2024, we would very much appreciate giving to this project.
And that number to call if you would like to help with this purchase, Aaron Whiting at the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy, 231-922-1259.
And what's the email again?
It is go ahead, Aaron, you say it.
E Whiting, EWHITING, at GTRLC.org.
Protecting the Alberta dunes for future generations to come. Sounds like a great project. It is a great project.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you having me on and sharing the great history of part of that property as it relates not just to local industry, but to radio and the history of broadcasting in such a significant way.
I'll send you the link.
I would love that. Would you email that to me? Because that's super interesting, and we want to continue to gather information about the history.
Got it. You got it coming your way this morning. Yeah, I think it, you know, I don't know if you're on any of the Facebook groups, but you might consider reaching out to the railroad groups. They are very, very active around Michigan, and they're very interested in Alberta.
Good
because
idea.
This is the original place where, you know, it's not just that these were the ships that went out of here. They were the first ships. The Tsar of Russia sent people over here to see how this was done. This was the very first spot in the country that this car ferry system began. And so for historical railroad folks, they make trips up here. In fact,
has
you'll see
a lot of significance.
Yeah, and they show pictures all the time of the foundry that's down there that us here in Alberta would love to see some kind of restoration or historical
center. Oh, I know.
Center.
That foundry is so cool. I just look at it longingly every time I walk past and think of all the things it could become.
Right.
And it's still so beautiful.
Well, and it's really so entrenched. This town was so entrenched, the workers of Alberta. This was the workers' town. The shopkeepers and the owners lived in Frankfort. The workers lived here because they worked 24-7. Mm-hmm. Those foundries were going all the time. The ships coming in all the time, four or five ships a day making trips. So, you know, when I speak to the older people here in their 90s, and, you know, they still have that mindset, and they're like, well, we need to bring industry back. Well, we all know that that's not going to happen, and this is the next best thing to preserve the history of the industry that was here. This was the driving, you know, I can go on and on because I'd walk around this town, but this was, you know, the driving industrial force for the, a lot of northern Michigan came through here, whether it be lumber, shipping, or, you know, it was fed through this little town. There are two deep water ports. I'll stop at this, but Traverse City is a deep water port, and Frankfort, Alberta is a deep water port in northern Michigan. And still a deep water port. So, you know, there's that idea in people's minds that we could bring the big ships back. Well, that's not going to happen, but we can preserve the history, you know.
But so. We can preserve the history, and we can leave it open so that in addition to preserving history, just the access to it, that there can be access, because once that is purchased by a developer, as was, you know, the potential there, then it just goes back to private ownership, and the public can't have access to it, can't walk through it, experience it, learn about it. So providing access so that more people have access to our history.
Right.
That's what we want to do, you know, in this community and through our work in general around the region.
Have you seen that? I go back to this postcard that's out in the historical museum. It shows the Native Americans on the hillside looking down at the harbor, and all the trees are cut on all the hillside. And I wonder what they're thinking looking down.
I always love that photo. Yeah. I always wonder what they're thinking.